Good morning. You guys remember what I talked to you about last week? Talked about thirst. What we ought to be thirsting after. We're going to talk a little bit about revival today. We're going to talk about what drives us forward in our daily life. We're going to talk about what we judge our life against. The measuring stick that we use. We're going to talk about what holds us back from that revival, that personal revival. Are we truly separating ourselves from the things that don't measure up to God's Word, that don't stand up to His standard? Are we allowing the world to creep in our Christian life and accept it? Allow it to water down our service? So I want to ask you today, what's your motivation? What's your ambition to continue in this world today? You know, with the idea of the thirst, I want to know, are you crying out to God, saying, help me, grow me, make me stronger? Are you willing just to continue in the ways of the world with a lukewarm service to God? See, the drive within you determines the road you're going to take in this life. We live in a world that's plagued with crime and addiction. And acceptance of things that anger God, that saddens God. But there's a drive within you that's stronger than anything you face in the world today. There's various approaches of psychology that speaks of the various drives in our life. Some talk about sex drives as being the primary drive in a life. Some talk about the drive for self-fulfillment. Others talk about addictions to alcohol, to caffeine, to tobacco, to various drugs. Behavioral therapists talk about the strength of learned behavior. In other words, what we're taught in our homes and how that affects us throughout our lives. Physicians and psychiatrists talk about the influences of a chemical imbalance in our life and how that causes us to have inappropriate behaviors. Theologians, they often speak about the dominance of the inherited sin, the original sin. But I want to tell you this morning that God says there is a drive stronger than any of these, whether they're true or imagined, and that's the drive, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. It'll supersede any other of this drives in your life. This morning we're going to look at the best example that we can ever have, and that's Jesus Christ Himself, and how this drive influenced His life. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We all know that scripture. That's one we learn as a kid. Jesus being tempted. In Mark it says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. You see, Jesus didn't look to his own drive, his own ambition, or his own motivation. He was led by the Spirit of God. He was driven by the Spirit of God, as it says in Mark. The Spirit of God superseded the human drive in him. The word drive in this instance means like prodding an animal, pushing it along. Think of herding sheep or any other animal. You're pushing them along. The Holy Spirit was pushing Jesus along. And that's the same power you have in your life today if you tap into it. You allow the Spirit to push you along down that right path to overcome the bad influences. See, Jesus was to go into the wilderness. Now in that wilderness it would have been very hot during the day and cold at night. He'd be alone for 40 days. No food to eat, no water to drink. And he would be tempted by Satan himself, the greatest tempter. Now what do you think his mind and his body were telling him? See, the Bible tells us he was fully human as well as fully God. So I have to believe there was that human side of him. His body must have been saying, I don't want to go there without food and water, especially for 40 days. His emotions were saying, I don't want to go through this alone. His intellect, you know, as men, we're great about thinking things out, and his intellect has to say, there must be a better way. And his will, that man, human will inside of him, probably argued, I don't think I can handle this. But in our everyday lives, we do the same thing. How many times have we talked about our minds, our will, and our emotions in this church? How many times in our lives have we exerted our own will and pushed God's Spirit aside? How many times have we let our own sinful nature drive us ahead when we know it's against God's will and God's teaching? You see, we need to tap into God's grace, and that supersedes all these other thoughts and actions. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. See, we have a choice. Every day, every minute of every day, you have a choice. Am I going to do what my sinful nature wants? Or am I going to follow God? You know, we can know the right thing to do, but in the flesh, we're weak. And this verse says it's a constant war. It's a battle of what the world is throwing at us and the will of God that dwells within us in the Holy Spirit. We have to be on guard to be motivated by the right drive. Allow the right things to drive us forward every minute. How was Jesus able to walk through this and come out victorious at the end of 40 days? He allowed the Spirit of God to move him on, to stay with him, to draw power from that. And do you believe me when I tell you this morning that same power is available to you? The world does not have to overpower us. We're stronger than that in the Spirit of God. But we have to desire to seek out the Spirit of God, not the world. The more we enable the power of God through His Spirit to lead us, the stronger we become. Easier it becomes to draw on that power and not the influences of the world. And it's this very reason that you shouldn't see mature Christians gossiping or arguing or doing those things contrary to God's Word. Because as mature Christians, we should be tapping into this power daily. And the more we tap into it, the stronger we become, and the easier it becomes to follow God. It becomes easier when those situations come before you in your life, and you know they're going to. We're able to look and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us through it. We'll stop stumbling so often. We'll start walking stronger. Romans 8 and 5 and 6 says, For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you want revival in your life, it has to start with where you're focused. It starts inside of each one of us. Are we focused on the carnally minded or spiritually minded? Is the Spirit of God willing to wait, just sit there idly by? No, He's not. He's alive within you. Does the Spirit desire you to gossip or talk maliciously about someone? No. That's the world speaking through you. That's you being driven forward by the wrong drive. That's not the Spirit of God prodding you along. That's the world. And I want to know this morning, is the Spirit of God lying dormant in you just because you haven't reached in and tapped that power? You haven't looked? You need to ask yourself today, what's driving you? If I'm driven, if I'm motivated by the Spirit of God, I'm going to be continually seeking Him in my life. You know, for me, seeking out God, seeking out His Spirit, has to be a moment-to-moment thing. For me, before I make a decision, I have to stop and think, what's driving that decision forward? It is so easy for me to fall back into my old ways that I'm allowing the world to influence my thoughts and the actions that I take. But you know, if I start my day out with God, if I make sure I have that moment in the day to start with prayer, to pray for all of you guys, you're all on my list at home, have some time with God, then I know I started out on the right foot. After that moment, every step I have to concentrate on. I want to know, do you ever pause and reflect throughout the day on the journey that you're taking, on what's driving you that day? Do you ever think, you know what, I made a mistake 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, and I need to ask God's forgiveness. God forbid, you may have to go apologize to someone. That's allowing the drive of the Holy Spirit to push you forward, where the drive of the world would say, just forget about it and go on. That's not a mature Christian. But there is great news. Over time, with practice, allowing the Spirit of God to drive us, it becomes easier. Those steps become easier to take. The apologies that we have to make become fewer. And the do-overs we have to ask God for become fewer. Because we're allowing the Spirit of God to gauge every step that we take. It becomes almost automatic in our minds to praise Him, to think about Him, and dwell on Him. I want to tell you about my friend. This is a real person, Gary Wyatt. He's also known as Crazy Gary. I dealt with him in my workaday world time to time. We become friends as he come through Ohio. Gary is about 67, 68 years old now. And if you ask him, he'll tell you he's a Marine. Well, Gary hasn't been in the Marine Corps since about 1971. But Gary tells me that once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. There's no such thing as an ex-Marine. I see a nod out here. Yeah. And he sees someone wearing a t-shirt. He always hollers at him, always talks to him. Now, Gary can still recite the National Anthem, Pledge of Allegiance, the Marine Corps hymn, which you really don't want to hear him sing. And he also still knows his general orders. Now, 46 years after his active duty ended, he still has, what does he say, that pride of being a Marine. His duty and his honor to his country, you still see that. You still hear that when he talks. You still hear his sense of pride in his core, as he says. Now you're probably saying, now what does this story have to do with the Word of God? Well, to me, a lot. It's simple. To a Marine, his dedication, his life is for the Marine Corps. He eats, sleeps, and thinks Marine Corps. Even 46 years after his active service ended, he still recalls with pride his days of service. He has that same drive today and to continue in his service. He speaks lovingly of this country, even though we face so many problems. It's ingrained in his being to be a Marine. They memorize, they live, and some die for their country. And they stand faithful to their commitment. And I'll ask you this morning, as Christians, shouldn't we at least have that same dedication, that honor, and that service to our God? Shouldn't we have the same drive that drives those honorable Marines? We're serving the greatest general ever, the God Almighty Himself. And we are in an army, and we do serve. And I believe we should at least have that same sense of pride and understanding and love focused on our God. You know, I don't know how many of you here today are in the service. I got an idea, but whatever you do in life and your occupation, you know, you could be a teacher, a construction worker. You could have had a job like mine. You could be a factory worker, truck driver, or you could work out of your home. And still, there's new things to learn. Some of us have to recertify for certain things that we did. There's always growth. There's new ways of doing things that you have to learn. You have to keep up. You have to put time and effort into whatever job that you have. And it's the same thing in your service to God. We have to put time and we have to put effort in it. We should eat, drink, and thank God every day. We should put the effort in it that comes to have that drive, which means setting aside time for God. You have to daily nourish your body with His Word, with prayer, with understanding, and love. I want to continue to walk in the light of my Lord, but that takes effort on my part. The pull of the world on me is just trying to suck me back, like down a drain. And I have to fight. I have to fight every day for that drive to move me forward in the Spirit of God. So what happens when the Spirit of God's moving in your life? Best way to see that is look at the Old Testament. Samson. Judges 14:6, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand." Can you imagine to be so filled with the Spirit, so strong, that you could tear apart a lion if it's nothing at all? It's got to be true. It's in the Bible. The Bible doesn't lie to us. David and Benaniah, in 1st and 2nd chapters of Samuel, they performed similar feats. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David when Samuel anointed him. The Spirit enabled David to kill a lion, a bear, and later Goliath. That wasn't the power of man. That was the power of someone being driven by the Holy Spirit. Someone being aware of God's calling on him. Of paying attention when God spoke and then being obedient. Moses laid his hands on Joshua and he was filled with the Spirit to lead the people forward. And the list goes on and on in the Old Testament about normal men, normal powers being filled with the Holy Spirit, being obedient and obeying God, and extraordinary things happen. And you know what? Those same extraordinary things should be happening in this church today. Nothing's changed, people. God's power is still the same. We're just normal people that God can do extraordinary things through if we allow the Spirit to drive us and not this world. Have you ever made a commitment to come to church and then you turn around and go right back home? It happens. See, we need the Spirit to drive us because our will and our commitment can only take us just so far. Man's willpower is just so strong. But God's will overcome everything. The Spirit of God wants us to attend church on Sunday mornings for corporate worship, to raise Him up and praise Him. He wants us to work together to accomplish His will in our lives. He wants us to yearn to read the Bible and be so filled with that desire that we look forward to devouring His Word every day. And I don't think I'm taking it to an extreme. We should have that same desire to read His Word as we have to look forward to that TV show that comes on once a week we want to see. God is there every day of our lives, and we should be thirsty and ready to quench our thirst with His Word. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." The men of the Old Testament was driven by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit that came over them. I want to know, I just want you to think to yourselves this morning, do you come to church and worship God? I mean, truly worship God in your heart. That's great. Or do you come here out of some other sense, some other drive? And then when you go home, do you carry that sense of awe about it being in the presence of the Holy God? Or do you take it home and put it up on a shelf until the next time you need to come to church? That's where you can decide, where you can understand what's driving you. Is it truly the Holy Spirit of God? Or are you being driven by this world in a sense of checking the box, getting that over for the week, being done with it? 1 Corinthians 4:5 tells us that God's willing to bring the light where it's hidden in darkness. It'll expose the motives of men's lives. And I want to ask you today to turn inward, to pray, and ask God to reveal the motives, the things that drive you. Are they truly the Spirit of God? It's time for us to get excited about our Savior. We want revival in our lives. We want to see a huge movement of God, and I'd love to see that too. But there won't be a huge movement of God until you allow Him to move in your life. Dust away the cobwebs. The Spirit of God will change you because His Word says it will. You know, some Christians have a tendency to jump from church to church to church. You know, when they first come, they might become involved and get excited and join in things and are really on fire for the Lord. Then their zeal begins to dismiss or diminish, and they move on to another church. You'll hear things like, "Well, I just wasn't being motivated over there anymore. I wasn't being fed over there anymore." But you see, some people don't look for their motivation from within. They're looking around to the outside. They look everywhere else to be motivated. They look for others to motivate them to do what God is already calling them to do. The Holy Spirit fire has to come from within and not from what other people are telling you. We can't allow our lives to be influenced by the zeal of the people around us. It's time to stop putting the responsibility of our spiritual drive and our desire on someone else. You see, Noah was surrounded by unbelievers, and yet he built a great ship. His environment gave him no encouragement, no support, and yet he accomplished what God called him to do, because the drive in his life was through the Spirit of God. Jeremiah, Daniel, John the Baptist, they never attended any motivational camps. Drive all came from within. You know, these different things that's offered to us today, promise keepers and The list goes on and on and on. Those are all great. Those are all good motivators. But still, that's an outside influence. It has to come from the Spirit of God within yourself. It would be nice to have a perfect preacher, perfect deacons, Sunday school teachers. It'd be great to have a congregation that was 100% involved. But you know what? This is still the world we live in. This isn't heaven yet, and it's not going to happen. But God's Word says we'll still be successful when we take what He has given us and we allow Him to drive us forward. We can overcome any obstacle that Satan puts in front of us. Our integrity and our drive has to come from God. So how do we get this motivation? How do we fire up this drive and be focused in the right place? Well, I can tell you this morning with all certainty, the first thing you ought to do, get down on your knees, humble yourself before God and pray. That's the only step that's going to get it moving forward. We have to shove aside our arrogant human attitudes and humble ourselves, accept the fact that God is God and He is in control. And it's only through Him the power exists to overcome this world. I want you to plead with your Holy Father this morning when we go into our time of prayer and ask Him to help you. And I don't mean some offhanded prayer. I mean a truly committed, focused prayer to Him, our Creator, through Jesus Christ. It's time to experience the vision that God has in store for you. Not shaded by the world, but true and clear. This morning I want you to feel the power of His name, the power of His Word, and the power of His Holy Spirit. You know, I can stand up here and I can say these words and I can have passion about it, and I truly believe it. But it's up to you until you actually do it to understand what I'm talking about, what God has laid on my heart all week. You're hearing these words from me for the first time. But I want to assure you, I've been turning them over in my mind for a week now. And I hold that they're true. And I believe that they're from God. And I believe they're for every one of you here today. They're probably for some people that chose not to come today. But it's time for us to get motivated. Crazy Gary's always told me the Marines were the first to go in and the last to leave. Well, Christians, we should be the first to witness and the last to forsake anybody. God has a calling on our lives. He has a mission for us. And He wants us to accomplish it. And He didn't leave us out there to figure it out on our own. He gave us this word today. And I think He expects us to act on it. Jesus offered us rebirth on the day of His resurrection. John 20, 21 and 22 says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" So the truth today is, brothers and sisters, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Spirit of God inside you. Jesus said so. And what's our requirement? Jesus said all you had to do is ask. Luke 11:13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Not a lighthearted, offhanded asking. Seriously, down on your knees, begging forgiveness and asking for Him into your life. That's another promise of God. We need to understand the holy power, the awesome power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't believe we day to day recognize the power that's available to us. Romans 8, 11 and 12, it says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." The same Spirit of Him who raised them from the dead is the same Spirit that dwells in us. How awesome is that? Did you know that? Did you realize that power that we have? Is it true? It's got to be true. It's in the Bible. Now, do we fully believe it? That depends on what drives us in this world. Do we fully believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? Or do we just whitewash it? To me, it's awesome. And that's what enables us to do the will of God. That's what enables the drive in our life to help us get better, to push us forward, to prod us as Jesus was prodded into the desert. That power is available. And God's Word says we're supposed to rely on it when we're at our weakest. There's another well-known scripture, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. This is one of my favorite. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" And that's why we should take pleasure in those moments when we're weak, when we're being tested. Because 2 Corinthians 12 tells us that God is being made strong. And we can glory in the fact that people can see God at work in our life. And that should be what drives us forward. That's the revival in our life when we understand that our suffering, our problems are minor when compared to the glory that God gets as we allow His Spirit to drive us forward in this world. Our time here is short. It's temporary. But God knows the future. He knows what He has in store for us. And He wants to use us to glorify His name. He wants us to allow Him through the Spirit to be the driving force in our lives, which in turn becomes a driving force in the world around us. This world is slipping. This world is going down the tubes because Christians don't allow the Spirit of God, that same power that can raise the dead, push us forward. To be that example, that's what changes hearts. That's what changes lives. And that's what causes people to turn to Jesus Christ and know that there is a better way than the worldly way. We're called to serve Him. We're called to stir up the power that lives within us. And we've been failing as Christians. I'm talking about the whole Christian community. In 2 Timothy, Paul tells us to stir up the Spirit of God. And I want to know, will you stir up that Spirit today? Will you fan them flames? I hope your drive, your motivation to be here today is not out of a sense of duty, but out of a sense of awe that you get to one more time sit in the presence of God in corporate worship and praise Him and take that home with you today. I want you to take it home with you and take it through the whole week. allowing the drive of God to make a change in the life of those around you. Tanner said in Sunday school today, he led our lesson, and he said that we have to not only be there to help people when they're sad and when they're down, we need to be there when people are up and when they're happy. Truer words were never spoken. Being a Christian brother and sister to those around you is a 24-hour-a-day job. Not just when you see someone down, but you should be praising them when things are going good. Praising God at work in their lives so people can recognize it's not luck, it's not happenstance, it's not karma, as some people say. Good isn't rewarded for good. Good is rewarded because you're allowing the Spirit of God to drive your life forward, and He's blessing your life. He's blessing your life when you go through those times of pain and suffering and come out on the other side, and you look back and say, there was God at work. I recognize His hand on my life. That wasn't the world holding me back. It was God making me stronger. There's no straddling the fence in Christianity. You're either on the side of God or you're on the side of the world. Let's all stand together. So which side of the fence are you standing on today? Are you standing with God or are you standing with man? Sometimes it's hard to know. But I ask you today, get down on your knees before God and allow Him to reveal where you stand. You might be surprised. We all want revival. You know, we're always looking for that great, huge movement of God. But true revival has to start with what drives you personally forward. True revival will come when we finally get those things out of our life that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Even those little minute-to-minute things that pop up. You want to draw closer to God? When those things pop up, acknowledge them and seek out forgiveness. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Father, I just praise You for the examples that You've given us. Father, I praise You for that love, for that Spirit that You give us, for the understanding as we stumble, Father, and Your love that causes You to time and time again to forgive us. Father, I thank You for the grace that You give us. Father, I pray for everyone here today, for those who made a conscious decision to not come. Father, I just pray that You will speak to their hearts today. And that as we leave here today, Father, that we take the idea of what drives us. Help us to focus on the things that You want, Father, and not upon the world. Open our heart to Your Word. Open our heart to those around us, Father, and lead us to be good servants. Give us boldness, Father, and understanding and wisdom. Give us desire to devour Your Word and recall it when we're speaking to others, to answer the questions of the lost, Father, that You might draw them to You through our hands and our voice. Father, I ask You just to pour Your blessing down upon this people, upon this congregation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's no time like the present for revival.